Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Our Savior Lutheran Church Sunday morning worship service. This day, January 8th, 2023. Happy New Year. Our Sunday morning service meets here 10 a.m. with a radio broadcast to follow at 11 a.m. from WPHM 1380 a.m. We welcome those who are tuned in to listen to our service this morning. We also have service recordings available by podcast at www.wphm.net, podcast Our Savior. You can also follow us now on Facebook, Port Huron Our Savior. We'd like to thank our radio broadcast this day, our longtime anonymous donor, for sponsoring the radio broadcast. Thank you so much. Our worship leader this day, Pastor Charlie Martin, our sound tech, Hope Dorsbacher, and myself, Helen DeTerry, will be assisting with today's readings. Our introduction to today's service. The Feast of Epiphany, Manifestation, concludes the Christmas season with a celebration of God's glory revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah and Ephesians, that glory is proclaimed for all nations and people. Like the light of the star that guided the Magi to Jesus, the light of Christ reveals who we are, children of God who are claimed and washed in the waters of baptism. We are sent out to be beacons of the light of Christ, sharing the good news of God's love to all people. Our gathering hymn this day, Nearer, My God, to Thee.
Please rise as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Word made flesh, our life and our salvation. Amen. Trusting the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior, let us confess our sin. God of life, you promise good news of great joy for all people and call us to be messengers of your peace. We confess that too often we hoard our joy, our resources, and our security. We nurture conflict and build barriers. We neglect the needs of our neighbors and ignore the groaning of creation. Have mercy on us. Where we are self-centered, open our hearts. Where we are reluctant, give us courage. Where we are cynical, restore our trust. Renew us with your grace and give us again the hope of eternal life in you. Amen. Hear the good news. We are children of God and heirs of God's promises through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. We are forgiven and redeemed. Sing with joy, for all the ends of the earth shall know the salvation of God. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Jerusalem is assured that nations will make a pilgrimage to her, because the light of God's presence is in her midst. The bountiful food of the sea and the profits of the international trade will come streaming to Jerusalem and thereby declare God's praise. Here begins the reading. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 72, and the antiphon, in his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously, and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in his righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor, and crush the oppressor. In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace.
May he live as long as the sun and moon endure from one generation to another.
Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles pay tribute, and the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts.
In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace. May all kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service.
For the king delivers the poor who cry out in distress, the oppressed, and those who have no helper.
He has compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence, he redeems their lives, and precious is their blood in his sight. In his time, may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace.
Our second reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. What had been hidden from previous generations is now made known through the gospel ministry of Paul and others. In Christ, both Jews and Gentiles participate in the richness of God's promised salvation. Here begins the reading. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our hymn of praise, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
Join me in speaking the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. We have observed his star at its rising and have come to worship him. Alleluia. Our gospel today is from St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen as its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So how many of us waited until last Friday to do our gift exchange this year instead of rushing through it at Christmas? Yeah, I didn't either. But some in the rest of the world exchange their gifts on Epiphany. Our retailers might need to recognize this different date for some people and reset Boxing Day accordingly. And although their sales are definitely still on and probably will be until they've cleared out all of their inventory, they do need to think about this timing. I really wonder how we ended up centuries ago with deciding that the giving of gifts happens on Christmas instead of on Epiphany. Epiphany is really the inspiration of gift giving. The shepherds didn't have a chance to go out and do any shopping before they headed to the stable to see the baby Jesus. The Magi, who probably were not kings but were representatives of kings in their place, really were more like scientists who really watched and studied the stars. That they were able to see this event in the sky from their faraway homelands was amazing. They are assumed to have come from Persia, not a very short hike from there to Bethlehem, and without really a direct route. They also brought these rather interesting gifts for a baby, but then again, this would be a king, so maybe those are a little closer to what a future king should receive. Gold certainly would be fitting for a king, which represents for us the place that we give to Jesus. Frankincense is fitting for divinity, which certainly we associate with Jesus being God's Son. Myrrh is maybe the most strange one because it's an anointing spice, usually used at least at that time for burials, which we connect to the glory of Jesus that we see in his defeating death that he experienced in his life through which we have all been saved. It has always struck me as odd, the relationship between the priests and scribes and these magi. Why didn't the priests recognize this event taking place? Why didn't the priests go with the magi to observe and honor this new Jewish king who they knew from their scriptures would be the Messiah, the one from God to save us? Maybe the priests were not quite as connected to God as we would expect of them. They seemed far more connected to Herod and Rome. Do we recognize ourselves what is happening in this great event? Of Herod, we hear lightly that, oh, he wants to supposedly go and pay homage to this child from God. We all know better from our gospel of last Sunday what he really wanted to do. When we hear that he was afraid and all Jerusalem afraid with him, there are some underlying messages in that statement. What he was definitely afraid of was losing his grip on the throne, which he really hardly deserves. He's only even marginally half Jewish. He, in fact, has killed some family members who he was concerned about challenging him and taking the throne from him. So he is not at all a trusting person. Jerusalem being frightened with him relates both to his supporters in the religious authorities and also any common people who would be really concerned over what terror he might erupt with. A good concern, as we heard last Sunday with what he decreed. Rulers having this negative aspect to them has never gone away. And I know that I keep picking on Putin, but he just seems to be so deserving that I just somehow can't resist. Rather than letting people fairly decide who they want to be ruled by, Putin seems to be getting away with the murder of any resistance to his governmental rule. I knew that there were some, but I had certainly lost track of just how much of this has taken place over the years. We are certainly aware that Zelensky, who is now the person in charge of the Ukraine, is probably on his list, but others who have tried to compete with Putin right in Russia have lost their lives for that. Over a dozen people have been poisoned, the weapon of choice, it would seem. An oligarch and two Ukrainian peace negotiators were attacked about a year ago to break up any chance for peace. Litvinenko, and I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing some of these challenging names right, who was a former KGB agent who had been critical of Putin, was killed in 2006 in London. Another former spy, Skripal, was attacked in 2018, again in England, this attack failing because the perpetrators accidentally had the poison act on them before they could deliver it. Another maybe more famous name that we might recognize is Navalny, who was given poison tea and barely escaped by getting quickly to a hospital in Germany. There were four others mentioned in the article that I was reading about all of this, which certainly demonstrates that Putin follows the lead from Herod in how to deal with any opposition. Herod is eventually replaced in Jerusalem by a rather evil son, Archelaus, who is even worse than his father, so much so, in fact, that the Romans actually removed him from power, and this led to bringing in Pontius Pilate as the governor and tetrarch of Jerusalem. and Judah. Jesus coming in his birth to bring into the world righteousness and peace seems to be having a tough time getting this into place for all of us who live in this world of God's. We likely look for God to take the easy way for this to take place, with Jesus who had just come in, snap his fingers and take over all the governments and declares that this has happened. This is not the way that God often does such things for us. Just as we know that we often have to wait for any healing to come to us, we can see that God did not force this change of living in righteousness and peace upon us. We have to want this to be the way of the world we live in. We can maybe question how God acts and why God doesn't just really react, but we need to know that in some way, God always is active in our world, working in fact with us toward a time when righteousness and peace are the only way of the entire world. We know from our history books that Herod and his sons and the Roman officials of the Bible are no more in the world, and that their rule ended long ago. We pray for the time when all evil rulers find their time to be over and the people that they have mistreated be made free. This is a part of the action that we help in our living out the mission of Christ in the world. We see that as God told us in Isaiah, that the light of Jesus has come into the world to dispel the darkness of these situations. Even though they had been living under the dark of their exile to Babylon, God worked to change this for the Jewish people by inspiring a new world leader from Persia to release them. A rather strange circumstance, but God often works through rather interesting ways. This gives them and us a good reason for wishful thinking that all these empires will come to an end and that people will live free under their Lord Jesus. This is the future that we envision now, while still so many people do not feel free, even some in our own society. The words that Isaiah opened up with this day, "Arise, shine," is actually meant to encourage them to open themselves up to becoming a part of the solution. This is that they, and now we, open up to being the very instruments of God who challenge the leaders of the world to move toward this vision that God has for all of us. We might consider that the Magi, who are Gentiles like all of us, who are in our minds today, were guided by God to find the child Jesus, which reveals God's intentions for the gifts of Jesus to extend to all the world. This is predominantly the righteousness that God promises, and we hear of even in our psalm today, that God and Jesus have this zeal for this to be a part of our world. Perhaps we need to revisit what God deems as righteousness, as it should exist in our world. This is primarily zeal for the proper treatment of all people, but with a special focus on those who are helpless and who are poor. In both cases, these people have no real recompense. They usually don't have any means to get help on their own. God looks to us to stand up for these people, to assure that they are treated fairly, that they feel loved, at least at some level. One of the people in this own area has taken to action that services the needs of the very many who are homeless in our nearby neighborhoods. Behind a nearby beauty shop, they've erected a small clothesline upon which people who have enough can leave in some protected plastic bags clothing or maybe some bathroom supplies like toothpaste for the needy who live among us. This seems perhaps like a small effort to cure how people might be dealing with the society in which we live, but it certainly is not to the one who is receiving the clothes. While this doesn't stop any tyrants, it does spread to the world that this is not how we expect our world to exist. Just as the Magi spread the good news of this new king into the world, we find these small ways to spread the love that we first received from God out to all the others we can, and God's intentions for we all to live in peace and righteousness. Amen. Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. With wonder and thanksgiving for Christ's coming into the world, we pray for the church, the life of the earth, and the whole human family.
Guide the whole church with your wisdom, revealing God. Nurture ecumenical and interreligious understanding around the globe, especially in places of ethnic and religious strife. We pray for the Lutheran World Relief and other organizations that provide humanitarian aid disaster relief, and health care. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Restore your glory to the earth, creating God. Protect fragile ecosystems, rainforests, coral reefs, wetlands, prairies, and shorelines. Guide us to treasure the rich variety of animals and plants that share the world with us, especially those that are endangered. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Bring the nations into the way of justice and peace, righteous God. Strengthen those who work for human rights, equality, and the protection of the most vulnerable. We pray for all in public office, that they may serve with honesty and honor. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Help those who have no helper, delivering God. Rescue any who suffer from abuse, neglect, or exploitation. Deliver adults and children who are caught in cycles of poverty. Transform social systems that enable racism and discrimination of any kind. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and nurture those in our midst who need your compassionate care, including all our homebound. And especially this day, Lord, we remember in our prayers Donna Barnish, Deb Cook, Mary Ann Davidson, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Jerry Massar, Sherry Mosierak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Carl Rich, Douglas Weaver, Pastor Joyce, Pastor Ken Stibe, and their son Mason, Nina Schultz, Jack Swinson, James Swinson, John Hinkle, the family and friends of Don Chittister, Patty Dunn, Joseph Codette, Shirley McLean, Bob Porter, Herman Bradfish, and Enoch Carlton with their recent passings. And we remember those serving to protect our nation, both at home and overseas, that they may return home safely. Let us either silently or aloud pray for our own intentions and people in need. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Accompany the ministries of this congregation in the coming year, abiding God. Inspire those who lead worship, teach, visit, pray, administer, and serve. Keep us mindful of the needs of others in our communities and neighborhoods. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Reveal your promise by the witness of those who died trusting in you, redeeming God. Receive our thanks for their witness and faith, and guide us by their example until we are gathered with them into your eternal presence. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Pondering the mystery of eternal love made flesh in Christ Jesus, we commend all for whom we pray to the mercy of God.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
We thank you for your continued support to the Christian ministry here at Our Savior Lutheran Church, financially, time, service, talents. There are many things going on here, many thanks to be said. So just want to thank all of those who continue to be plugged in and worshiping with us and here. A few announcements I have to share with you this morning for those of you that are not receiving emails. Okay, so we just want to get the word out. Please share with your family and friends that Our Savior Lutheran Church, we are hiring a part-time office assistant, and applicants can submit resumes by mail to Pastor Charlie. They can call the church, leave a message, and we have applications here for any who may be interested in this part-time paid position. Our Savior Lutheran's next church council meeting will be held this Tuesday, January 10th at 7 p.m. And just want to again thank all of those who have volunteered to serve as trustees for the upcoming year. We just want to thank you very much for doing that. It is such an important part to maintain and upkeep this building. Informational meeting regarding a combined choir that will provide music during our Lenten season is taking place here this afternoon at 3 p.m. So anybody who may be interested in sharing their vocal talents can come and meet with us here at 3 o'clock. Our New Year offering envelopes are located in the back for pickup or delivery. Just let us know. If you are not able to come to church, we can certainly deliver them to you. A reminder to let everybody know, there are new daily devotionals available in the back for home use. And our Bible studies are available again, 10 a.m. on Wednesdays with Pastor Charlie for the next couple. And then we've been invited to, an invitation has been extended from St. Paul Lutheran Church to join a men's Bible study that they will be holding on Mondays, 6 p.m. And if you're interested in that, just call St. Paul's. And another thank you to a few people that were here during the holidays to read and work the soundboard. As everyone knows, the holidays fell on Sundays this year, so I would like to thank those people who gave their time. And a special thanks to Jen Hudson and Kathy Cole, who assisted in Christmas Eve's music. And one more thank you to my son, Denver, who took over the bulletin production through the entire season of Advent. I really appreciated that. So thank you, Denver. And with that, we will listen to our offering hymn. It is Like a River Glorious.
Thank you.
God of abundance, receive and bless these gifts we have offered. Join our hearts with the song of the angels and gather us at your table of celebration. Strengthen us to share with all the world the abundance of your grace upon grace, poured out in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen.
Amen. Please rise as you are able. And now let us pray with confidence in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may God bless you and keep you. Jesus, grant you grace and truth, and the Spirit send peace upon your hearts, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for our sending hymn, which is I Love to Tell the Story.
Savior is born. Go in peace, proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.